Amen. As it says in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And may the Lord help us even this week to not be ashamed of Christ, and are thankful and for His love for us. If you have a copy of the Word of God, take it with me and for a few moments and this evening, and do pray for my voice. And it's been fighting me for a week and a half now. And this morning, I needed to say something to my wife, and from the driveway, calling up to the car, and I couldn't say it. And she's like, "What?" I said, "I kid, isn't coming." And so do pray, and hopefully it'll be with us, and the Lord will know when to shut it off. And do pray the Lord will help us this evening. And 2 Samuel chapter 23. And I do believe the Lord has an encouraging message for us this evening, and I pray the Lord would help us, and I believe it's challenging as well. And may the Lord help. It's encouraging to read all the different characters that God highlights in Scripture, and sometimes you read things and you're like, "Well, why are we learning about this?" And you read passages of Scripture, "Well, what's the purpose of this?" And if I'm honest, I have to say I don't know oftentimes why. Often things are in Scripture, but I do know this, that God inspired His Word and preserved it to us to reveal Himself. And there is something in every passage of Scripture that teaches us something about who God is and our relationship with Him. And so for this reason, there is something for us in every portion of Scripture. And may we not miss that here this evening. And we find a highlight of David and his mighty men here. And this is a great series that is found here of lists of different mighty men. And there were chief mighty men amongst all of the mighty men that David had. And then there's even three that are highlighted of the 30 chief ones, and that were here to bring this cup of water to David. And with many great victories, we find this story that stands out as David desired to lead spiritually, not by force, but he did something as an example to these men, as a spiritual encouragement for them, and as a challenge and conviction that almost came upon his own heart. And you see a bit of humility in David to see almost retract from his initial thought and of wanting this cup of water and then pouring it out. And it seems quite a strange thing, but I believe we see the fickleness of man's heart and desires, and sometimes hindsight, looking, thinking, "Oh, maybe this is not quite what I needed," and remembering what's most important. And I pray that for a few moments, the Lord might highlight a few things that might help us to understand a few things that might be happening here. And one could read this account and recognize the loyalty and respect of David's mighty men they had towards David. And though very admirable, but it does not appear to be the highlight of this particular portion of these verses, few verses that we read, 13 to 17. Now, no doubt it will, and it is an emphasis, that they were very loyal to David to do such a thing as to endanger themselves for a cup of water. And I want us to be encouraged, as I said from the very beginning, let's turn our eyes aside from David, and with David, I believe, we turn our eyes to the Lord. We turn our eyes to God in this. What is God doing in the midst of this? And look at God's Word as a look at our view of God. And so may we allow this to help us to see what God was doing in David's life, to help us to see what God is doing in our hearts this evening. And for a few moments, we see just a few things here. In verse number 13, we first see his thirst, his thirst. And verse number 13, it says this, "And 33 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.'" We see here David's thirst. And we see this was in a time of harvest. And for this particular time, it would have been very hot, typically, and in this time of harvest. And so you can imagine a drink of water would even be so much more important. But even as he longed for water, he longed for water from the, you could say, the wells of his youth, you could say. Oh, the well of Bethlehem. And that he could have the waters drawn from this well in this way. We all, may we recognize in his thirst, we all have a thirst for different things. The result of the expression of his thirst later would be the thought of as vanity. Now notice that. So what he thought here was a thirst that he had, and these men brought him this cup of water. He would pour it out unto the Lord for the glory of God, because unto himself, if he was to drink that water, the vanity that it was to take that at the risk of those men. And here the thought would be as a vanity, as a personal, meeting a personal need at the expense of others. How often do we seek to satisfy our fleshly thirst with what we could get for ourselves? As long as we long for the wells of this water, there will be vanity. And we have to recognize he had a thirst. We have a thirst. There are times and we see this different things, and we have to guard this. And we see the expense that it would cost to be able to meet this thirst. But in the end, it would not be worth risking these men's life, and he would recognize this. 1 John reminds us of what many times when our thirst cannot be what they ought to be. 1 John chapter number 2, the Bible talks about and our different thirst. And the scripture says this. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2:16 then says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever." What are we thirsting for? What are we thirsting for? What have we filled our cup with? And this is the thing that he recognized, that this cup of water that he was now going to be presented by three of his mighty men who risked themselves was something that he did not deserve to consume upon himself. It was something, no matter even as simple and innocent as a cup of water might seem, it was something that he recognized that it did not belong to him. The cost that it would take these men to risk their lives in this way, his thirst, desire, he wanted the water, no doubt. Oh, he longed, the Bible says. He was thirsty for it, the water from the well of Bethlehem. And I wonder, what are you longing for? And in the things of this world, we can fill our cup with many different things that we might long for in this world. But the question is what are you going to do with the water? What are you going to do with that water that's in your cup? And let's continue to think about that. We see their thought. They thought, well, as they saw their leader David and his desire and thirst, they thought, wow, this is an opportunity. And valiant they were, and no doubt an example of eagerness to serve no matter the cost. I mean, you can see almost just the hint of a thought of a way that they could help their leader, David. They thought, oh, this is it. We're going to do it. Their thought of readiness at the slightest concern was the chiefest, and they had the chiefest desire to meet it. And what a thought. They were ready at any moment. And no doubt, this is admirable. We also find a lesson in leadership and influence in this, though. And that David would later recognize that it was not worth their life to go get this cup of water. But yet, in his desire of expressing his thirst, it influenced them. It put them in harm's way. Sometimes we don't think about it in that way. And no doubt, but in this sense, a way to pour the water out, it was to, for David to say it wasn't worth it. And that it belonged to the Lord and God deserves the glory. And this was David's desire. And in the end, David's desire of thirst was not the wisest of yearnings to display in front of his men. It was not the wisest of yearnings. What testimony of thirst do we leave for thought in others that may follow or look up to us? I wonder, by the testimony that we have in others around us, how does it affect others in the things that they desire? How many excuses have been made by young believers or seeking lost ones because they have observed in the compromise in other Christians? How many excuses have been made because they saw something in a decision that maybe a Christian who is known to maybe be a strong and a faithful Christian, they lost their temper, or they were found doing something that a Christian shouldn't do, or saying something a Christian shouldn't say, or being a part of something that a Christian shouldn't be a part of? I wonder how many times has that weakened younger Christians from growing in the Lord because they were not the example in their thirsts and desires that they should have been. And here we see David in this, and really repentant in that way. He pours the water out. He says, thank you, men, but this belongs to God. The risk that you have shown, I do not deserve it. God deserves all of your dedication and all of your life, not me. Many times, Christians can be their own worst enemy for themselves and the Christian faith. How many times we might observe one that might be, ought to be, we said, oh, they said they're a Christian, and then we observe that, and then we say, well, and we do not act as we should because of the excuses of other Christians not acting as they should. One person once said, everything rises and falls on leadership. And how that can be oftentimes something that can really affect us and the others that we're leading in this way. David's thirst led these men into danger. I wonder, is our lack of holy living leading those that are in our families? I have little boys in my home. Not to be so personal, but as they see my wife and I live, they will respond in how a Christian ought to live. Not because of necessarily what I've said, but because of what they've observed. And how many times are those around us, maybe siblings, maybe you have brothers or sisters, children, grandchildren, and they're watching, they're moving, they're observing according to what is the things that are thirsty upon your heart. The things you have filled your cup with, the desires that you've had. And whether we like it or not, it's going to affect them. It's going to cause them to act in a certain way and to have a certain type of influence every single move. I pray it would sober us to think about our thirsts and what we fill our cup with. But then we come to, simply in a closing, our turn. We see these different things. We see his thirst and we see their thought, but we see our turn. You say, what is our turn to do? As David was handed his cup of water, for the first time he would recognize the vanity and thirst for his indulgence. The Bible says, catch it here at the end of verse 16, and he brought it to David, and nevertheless he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. And here he saw the vanity of his indulgence, of his thirst, and he thought, it's not right for me even to drink it. Not willing to leave this as an example unto these faithful men to David, he would pour it out unto the Lord. And you say, why? Well, no doubt there was a desire to turn these men's eyes upon the Lord. There is an opportunity tonight for us all to recognize the influence that we might have by the person sitting next to us, a fellow Christian, a family member. And God has given us an opportunity with a cup of water that we might have, with whatever we might fill it with, to do something with it. And to do it, something with it, that might turn people's eyes to God and not to ourselves. No doubt it was to honor God as to be the only one worthy as such a sacrifice. And here we see him pouring this out in this way. So the simple question is, and whatever life has come our way and whatever we've desired and maybe thirsted for, and we filled up our cup and whatever maybe, and by the kindness of others and different things have happened in life and the goodness of God, the cup of water has come our way. And the opportunity is presented unto each of us as a testimony unto the Lord. What are we going to do with our water? We could drink it. We could drink it. And you think of what would have thought of David in that. Well, they just loved David, but he missed the opportunity to point to Christ. He missed the opportunity to direct those men's thoughts that no one is worthy of such a sacrifice than that of God himself. Missed the opportunity to glorify God. How many times have we drank the water and miss the opportunity to glorify God and to point others to Christ by our actions? Or, by God's grace, we could pray the Lord would help us to faithfully pour out that water unto the glory of God, to understand that He deserves all the glory in our lives. That others might, when they look at our lives, they would not see us, they would see our love for God, and in the sense that they might love God too. That they might be directed in this way. That we might have the right kind of attitude that would encourage others in their love for the Lord. What have you done with your water tonight? It's a very simple thought. But I pray that the Lord would help us to consider, have we given God the glory for what He has given us? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would teach us, Lord, and help us by Thy Spirit to give Thee glory for what Thou hast done for us. Oh, Lord, I believe there has been many times when we have thirsted for things that we should not. There's many times when we have filled our cup with things that were vanity. And Lord, I pray that You would please forgive us and have mercy on us for that influence that it may have hurt another believer or hurt someone from truly following Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would please help us, Lord, to make it right, and that we would take our cup tonight and even pour it out unto Thee. And Lord, in each day, no matter what this world brings our way, we would recognize, Lord, that only You are worthy of such a sacrifice. Only You deserve the glory. We pray that our eyes would be fixed and turned upon Thee, that You would be glorified in all that is done. In Jesus' name we pray.